Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is Merrick Larwood.
Hello, film listeners.
Sound a bit like a robot
film
there.
Film listeners.
Film listeners.
That's radio, isn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
A film listener. I'm slowly turning into a robot.
You think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why, what's happened?
All my emotions are...
ebbing away.
Empathy with mankind is slowly being lost. By the repetition of the same news stories. It's basically cyclical, isn't it? Things go around in circles.
That's right.
And you know, your life, over your lifetime, you see them repeated again and again, and anything you can do seems fundamentally futile. But that is not what this podcast is about.
Not yet, anyway.
It's about film.
It's about hope. It's about hope and cinema and art.
It's about dreams.
Shit. It's about dreams. We're dream weavers, in the sense... or rather, commenters upon them. We're going to talk about films. Again. In that repetitive, cyclical way that we do every week. We have seen some of the current releases. All Oscar Best Picture contenders, I believe.
I think, no, Inside Llewyn Davis wasn't.
Is it not?
No.
Okay.
I think he got nominated for some BAFTAs. You always forget this. It's quite blurred, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Anything that comes around, comes out in January, I automatically assumed that's been nominated for Oscars.
Yeah, because they knew it would, and that's why they released it then.
Yeah. Or maybe if you release your film in January, that means you get nominated.
Well, we should start making one for next
January. Yeah, yeah, aim for that.
Yeah.
So I went to see The Wolf of Wall Street.
Ah, okay. So I've read the reviews, I've not seen it. Tell our listeners what it's about.
It's based upon the true story of a man called Jordan Belfort, who was, he basically sets up his own stock, he's a training stockbroker, he qualifies for his job the day of the Black Monday or something, on the Wall Street crash in the 80s, so he finds himself out of a job, and then he finds out you can make money selling penny shares, but selling them for the... there's something corrupt about it, I can't remember what, anyway. So he sets up his own stockbroking firm, which is all highly illegal, and they just con people out of lots of money and get them to invest, and Gary Cowan get them to invest without actually giving them their money, and they make millions and millions, and they get investigated by the CIA or FBI, one of them. It's been nominated for 4 Oscars. Leonardo DiCaprio's son.
Yep.
It's been nominated for Best Actor. Jonah Hill, Supporting Actor. Martin Scorsese, Director. And...
it's a tiny man.
The writing as well. It's not been nominated for Best Film, then.
Oh,
it's nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture.
Have I got that wrong? I thought it was nominated for Best Film.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure my IMDb's wrong. It is nominated for Best Film.
Yeah.
Let me just check that.
We'll double check. We'll fact check. I mean, if we're nothing if not thorough. On this show.
You've
got a very old computer there.
Yeah, he's nominated for Best Picture. Yes, so it feels a bit like the original Wall Street.
Okay.
And a cross between that and American Psycho. It's a long film. It's about 3 hours long, as normal Oscar films are. Part of my viewing of this film was distracted, but I normally go on Monday mornings, because that way... you get the cheap tickets and you get 25% off if you're an Odeon card holder.
All right.
So I go and watch it. So the cinema's normally empty. And two old ladies came in and they sat two rows in front of me. It's about a 400 seater cinema and there were about six people there, and I was really annoyed they sat two rows in front of, in the middle of nowhere.
Is it an old ladies film, The Wolf of Wall Street?
Well, I thought, you clearly have no idea about what this film is going to be about. They probably sit there and go, oh, it's got that Leonardo DiCaprio.
That lovely man from The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, that would be, we did enjoy that
and
film.
We liked that.
It was a bit rude,
bit,
but we did
a bit
enjoy
loud,
it.
Wasn't
yeah.
it?
So they came and sat down and they just had a chat all the way through all of the trailers. You can chat through the Kevin Bacon E! Advert, but
yeah.
they chat all the trailers and they chat through...
That is your duty.
They chatted through the start until the first person talks. In the
that
film.
Is what I hate. I've had that as well. I hate it so much. You shut up when the title card comes up, when it says, you know, what certificate it is and all that. Or in fact, you can even... I'd allow you a little bit of a, oh, here we go,
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
Then you shut up. You don't wait until the first person speaks, because it's atmosphere stuff.
Some people think that's the...
idiots.
So, yeah, so I hated them. I do hate everyone.
I'm glad we mocked them earlier now.
And so the first... I don't think it's a spoiler. So at the opening of the film, he's snorting cocaine from someone's, sort of pretty much their rectum.
Right, yeah.
And that's the first... That made the old lady shut up quite quickly.
So you're counting that as the first time someone talks?
Yeah. If a sound is made, I talking is a sound made through a hole.
Yeah.
And then I was half watching it to see their reactions of just looking at each other and just tutting that came out. They eventually left about half an hour in. Another obscure thing happened was they, this is my Muswell Hill Odeon, who I wrote to complain about a previous old listeners might know about. I've had problems with them.
Yeah.
Two films not working, and I complained. The manager wrote back to me. She sent me some free tickets.
Yeah.
To apologise. She's never sent those to me. the subtitle, they played the subtitles for the first 40 minutes of this film, but I didn't notice there are subtitles because I've been watching a TV series over here called, which is a Swedish-Danish series, which is great. It's on Netflix. It's called The Bridge, or Bron.
Yeah.
I've been watching the second series. I'm starting to say season now. Second series of that, which is amazing. That's all subtitles.
Right.
So I watched 2 hours of that on a Saturday. So my brain was still in subtitle mode.
Yeah, this is entirely normal.
When I was reading it for ages, I was reading the subtitles and understanding it, but not realising...
But it wasn't a foreign
and
film.
Then, hang on a minute. What am I doing reading the subtitles? I only worked it out after about 20 minutes. That's a sign you're getting old.
Oh.
So it was quite an odd start to the film. That's the Muswell Hill Odeon, which manages to sort of completely cock up about one in every six or seven films.
It's an impressive degree
really
of incompetence.
Incredible.
So... I've read the reviews of The Wolf of Wall Street. It doesn't sound like my thing. Like, from what I've heard, it's sort of just a fiesta of hedonism with no message or twist or anything. It just goes for 3 hours and then ends.
Yeah, I've not really been, I think, enamoured with this Oscar list I've seen so far.
No.
And this was... Leonardo DiCaprio's son, I'm calling that because I like.
Yeah.
He's always really good. He's very watchable. But I preferred Wall Street. I preferred. It's almost that they're better sort of rise to fame films, which are more sort of hedonistic in the sense. It wasn't really. I suppose you could see it as. It felt quite misogynist in a way, I think.
Yeah.
But that was reflecting what total monsters they were.
But it's whether the filmmaker's eye comments upon that or does anything with it or just repeats it.
It just... I was trying to think of the film where Al Pacino... Is it Scarface where he gets rich and then he goes... I think it is Scarface, I can't remember.
That's a rise to power film.
Yeah, that is a much better sort of version of...
Right.
And depicts that hedonism much better than this.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it. I don't think it was great. There aren't any scenes which you think that is a magical scene. I really love watching that particular person do this particular bit. It was just...
Not the cocaine from the rectum scene. Is that not magical?
I've seen so many... films with that opening.
Yeah, it's
literally
true. That exact opening.
It's good. It's overly long.
Has it got nominated for an Oscar because it's Martin Scorsese?
Possibly, yeah.
Right, that seems to happen a lot. Gangs of New York was nominated when it is one of the most mediocre films anyone's ever made, but still just went up for the Oscar.
Yeah.
But that was back then, people said that was because the Academy still hadn't given Martin Scorsese an Oscar, so they were desperate to, you know, a little too desperate when it came to Gangs of New York. They couldn't bring themselves to do it, and then they gave him one for The Departed. Again, a film probably not worthy of an Oscar, but... he's got one now, so why do they keep having to nominate his films all the time?
I enjoyed The Departed.
I did too. Yeah. I don't think it's an amazing film.
Yeah. I think this is... Jonah Hill has a really good performance in it. His teeth are fantastic, but he's very watchable. Just didn't really... I don't know if I was in the wrong mood for it, for the old ladies ruined it, the subtitles ruined it for me. There's a great cameo... from Matthew McConaughey in it.
Okay.
Who's obviously got really skinny for the Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
And is dressed as a Wall Street broker in this, but they must have filmed at the same time because he looks so odd. Because he's not playing the sort of AIDS character.
He looks like a sort of scrawny chicken, I think.
Yeah, but in this, he's not playing like the character from Dallas Buyers Club he lost the weight for. So he's like this stockbroker who looks like he's got... AIDS and is wearing a wig. It's quite odd. It's quite odd. But I think I like about Wall Street is a bit more. It's more innocent, and it's got the whole something about 80s. I don't know if it's nostalgia or not. I preferred Wall Street to this.
Who's the antagonist? I mean, because in Wall Street, you've got a battle between Gordon Gekko and then the young apprentice played by Charlie Sheen, who then, you know, realises how wrong all of this is. I mean, is there any kind of story like that, or is it just he went out to get a load of money and he got it and then they found out?
I think he sort of sense it has got that undoing, that falling apart bit.
Okay.
Which is very reminiscent of Goodfellas,
yeah.
Which I think isn't done as well as Goodfellas, which, you know, when he's in his car with a helicopter following him and he's making the meatballs and that whole day story rating. It's got that sort of bit where everything goes wrong and he sort of rediscovers himself. I mean, I suppose as it being a true story, you're limited in what you can do with it.
Yes.
But I would rather have seen a documentary about himself.
Yeah. Well, he's still around, isn't he?
Yeah, I would find that, you know, you sort of want to. It's one of those things where you think that I enjoyed it, but I'd rather see him tell his story about actually what happened. It might be more interesting than actors doing sort of actory speeches. I don't know. I think I've just... Maybe I'm filmed out. I'm too critical of these films.
How many Marics?
I give it 6.
Okay. It's not going to win the Oscar for you, though.
No, but I don't know what it is.
Captain Phillips up for it?
Yeah.
You like that?
So, American Hustle, Nebraska, Captain Phillips, Philomena, Dallas Buyers Club, 12 Years a Slave, Gravity, The Wolf of Wall Street, and Her. And I've seen The Wolf of Wall Street, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Gravity, and 12 Years a Slave. And... Captain Phillips is my favourite of those. But I'm really intrigued by the ones by Her and Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, yeah. I've only seen the trailers for both.
They look really good.
They haven't come out yet, have they?
No, I think Dallas Buyers Club might be out when this podcast is
right,
out.
Right.
But, I mean, go and watch it. But I was at the gym and I spoke to another guy, one of the gym instructors there, and he was going to... He'd been to see it and he said he didn't see what all the fuss was about. He said, I enjoyed it, but I didn't see what the fuss was about.
Right.
That's it, really.
That's it. Well, Wolf of Wall Street.
It's like my review of it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Was it a 6 out of 10 review?
I enjoyed his review, but I don't know what everyone's talking about it for.
Yeah, it was just... I heard a lot of it before in this review of it. He said a lot of the same things. It was... I suppose it may have been interesting with a bit about the old ladies.
There were repeated themes from his earlier reviews.
I mean, it sounded like he wasn't even listening to himself.
Well, Wolf of Wall Street.
Now, we can go to a letter here. Because you've been to see... I've been chastised.
You've been chastised by one of our...
He's actually not even written to me this...
No, it's person. Only to me. It's a plea for help. But you can read it out, if you like.
I don't want to read this out.
Well...
You read it out.
Okay. It's a slight Belfast accent, I believe.
I've been chastised for doing accents as well. I'm just going to do everything really in a monotone voice now. Gosh. Bloody films.
This podcast is getting better and better.
Really?
It's becoming a spite fest. I don't know what's going on. Right, Belfast. I can't do it, but can you do Belfast? I can't do one.
I'm trying to do it now. Everyone does that Gerry Adams thing, don't they?
That's right. But we will. Is that Belfast?
I'm pissed off about everything.
Everything in the world.
This is even more miserable than my... It's what my accent should be, Belfast accent. That would really compound the misery. But I'm sure...
It's the language your soul speaks.
Yeah. But I'm sure they're very nice people from the whole of Northern Ireland.
Right. Well, I'm going to try it in a sort of Northern Irish, but I can't really do that, so...
Go for it.
Right. Dear David...
Only.
Over the past 24 months, I've listened to your podcast on a more and more frequent basis. I found that listening to your dulcet tones critiquing world cinema... This is a bit awkward. Cinema has become a staple in my life.
Cinema's a love letter.
It is. The familiarity of your cheeky repertoire has grown from familiarity to friendship, from friendship to love. And it is from this love that I feel I must write now. It is because of love.
You've got to say that no.
No. No.
That's it, yeah.
Right. Slight Belfast accent.
It's half human, half cow.
No.
That's it.
The laughing cow light. Okay. I became worried when Marek dismissed my suggestion that Wes Anderson's Rushmore was a classic and should be reviewed. I put this incorrect dismissal down to stress caused by his superstar lifestyle. It's fair enough. However, after hearing Marek's lukewarm review of 12 Years a Slave, I have become sure that something bad is wrong with him. This film is outstanding. 12 Years a Slave is the reason why we all put up with such mediocre dross for most of the year. Cinema has allowed this story to be told, and by good grace it was Steve McQueen that directed it. I'm not suggesting that it was not difficult to watch, but it never felt sensationalist. If anything, it was matter of fact. The casting was outstanding apart from Brad Pitt, and the characters delivered the story perfectly. I have not left a cinema so emotionally drained since I watched The Pianist. I found myself questioning fundamentals in my life, society, and what future generations will judge us on. If this doesn't make a film a 10 out of 10, I'm not sure what does. David, I hope that you have now had time to see the film and, and correct this review. Sorry. Hope that you know. Have time to see the film and correct this review. Be kind to Marek as he must be unwell. And please provide support to him through this difficult time. Yours, I. Don't know what that means. Monty. Well, that is a critical review of yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you, Monty, for your letter. I actually, after having read that letter, made extra effort to go and see 12 Years a Slave and have now done so.
No, I have done so.
So, right, we have to say now like that for the rest of the podcast.
Okay.
So, remind me, Marek, what did you give it?
I gave it like a 6 or 7, I think.
Oh.
I think it's a really good film. It is a good film.
Yeah.
I didn't think that it... And it had some... watching it about a couple of weeks ago, because a couple of scenes have stayed with me. Did I really enjoy it as a film? Not especially. I could recognise it's good. It's not a film I watch again. I recognise some issues are important. Has it been done before? Have some issues been done before? Yes. Have they been done in that sort of a matter-of-fact way, which I think is something interesting that Monty said. That's what's different about it. There's no flashy design.
I think it's a very good film.
I think it's
brilliantly made. The casting is wonderful. I thought Michael Fassbender was incredible in it. Like, his performance is wonderful, and Chiwetel Ejiofor is great as well, and everyone is actually. Brad Pitt casting, not bad casting. He suits the role, but for me, that was just a little bit, oh, really? Where he's also the producer of the film. So he's clearly put up some of the money or helped it get made. and then cast himself as the most heroic character in the film. And I just find that a bit distasteful.
Yes,
and I shall play the hero of the piece.
Yeah.
I found that a bit weird.
How did it make you feel? Were you moved by it?
I found the ending very moving. I wasn't, I didn't find myself really understanding Solomon, the main character.
Yeah.
I found him passive and difficult to understand. And that's quite possibly because it's exactly who he was, or they've omitted some bits. But, and it, you know, it's reality we're talking about. It's based on a true story, you know, very closely so. So you can't get your heroic narrative of the struggle and the escapes and all of this stuff. But that would be my only criticism of it, therefore, as a film, is that the story it's based on doesn't lend itself to a fantastic story on the screen.
Yeah.
I think it's a fascinating slice of history, really well told, beautifully shot and everything. I got bored every now and again.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, that's the truth. And, you know, I thought, I know about this stuff. I found myself thinking this. I just go, I know about this period of history. I know it was awful. And I seeing it,
yeah,
you know, that does bring it home, I guess. But I didn't feel I was getting to know a principal character that well along the way.
Yeah.
But
that's fair enough. I mean, and also, Monty, it's really good to hear people's reviews who disagree with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact you loved it so much is great, and we should tell people that, you know, it's had that effect on some people. I would give it probably, for what it is, I think it does it almost perfectly. I'd give it an 8 or 9.
Okay. I just didn't enjoy it as a film. I mean, we should stay here. It's all subjective, our views.
Yeah.
I do think it's one thing I read English at university.
Yes.
And one thing, I was really intimidated by all the, you have to read all the classics and all the big, yeah, you know, all well-known books and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, and then you sort of think you're stupid when you don't appreciate them. But it is all subjective. Yeah. And I wouldn't have to have the sort of courage to go, actually, I hate that book. I'm going to give up reading it. I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just me. I prefer Ghostbusters. I prefer Ghostbusters to 12 Years a Slave.
I was thinking after I went to see it that the sort of mundanity of 12 Years a Slave, which is definitely part of its story, you know, if you put it directly alongside Django Unchained, which came out last year and is, a you know, again, boldly, unapologetically about slavery, but a complete fiction.
Yeah.
I can totally get how you would prefer Django to be told than 12 Years a Slave.
Mm.
Just because it's revisionist and it's, but it gives you, it's more empowering than 12 Years a Slave is.
Mm.
You know, it's the difference between the truth and the fiction. You know, like, I think exactly the same as Tarantino did with Inglourious Basterds.
Mm.
You know, that the idea of there being a sort of superhuman force of vengeful Jewish people going around beating the Nazis at their own game, great, you'd want to watch that. If you felt someone born after the Second World War, that the Holocaust was still hanging over you, the same with slavery. I think it's a really interesting thing about whether it's more powerful to show painfully the truth or a complete fiction,
yeah,
that moves us past it.
Well, I think next week we're going to look at some Oscar-winning documentaries. And I think there's an argument whether the document we follow the truth so closely,
yeah,
that you might as well see that. I don't know what that line is.
I mean, obviously, I'm not saying it's one or the other. I'm saying, you know, there's a place for both of them. But I just think it's interesting what one does and what the other does. 12 Years a Slave, I would recommend seeing it. I did enjoy it.
Shall we move on to another letter?
Sure.
Here's a letter from Tim Wade.
Tim Wade?
Yeah. I'm going to read it in a normal voice.
Oh.
Hi, Marek. Well, if you can call my voice normal. Hi, Marek / David. That's an instruction.
Yeah. Hi, Marek.
Hi, Marek / David. No, it's just wanted to thank you for the recommendation via Tom Tuck, I believe, of The Gods Must Be Crazy. I saw it yesterday and absolutely loved it. So much, in fact, that I just watched the sequel tonight. If anything, it's even better. Some really great lines in it and great performances. So I definitely recommend watching it if you haven't already. So that's nice. So that's yeah. You should have watched that. I've really enjoyed that film as well.
Yeah, we've had some good reactions from The Gods Must Be Crazy. I've still not seen the sequel. Both available on Netflix and elsewhere. Yeah, really good. Really good.
Guess what?
I don't know.
Our 9-year-old listener, who now must be 10, Alex Wishart has written in.
No.
Yeah.
What's he want?
I shouldn't really sort of be reading out emails from 10-year-olds in the same podcast I open with someone. If you're listening, Alex, don't ever snort
cocaine off a rectum.
Okay. Well,
if you want to, I mean, you know.
Hi, guys. I recommend Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. I give it 9.5 Alexes, as it needed more slow motion things. I don't know what to call them. Still loving the show. Oh, he actually meant, and he's written again saying he meant the first Sherlock film. So there we go. A 9.5, Alex. That's wow. Quite good.
It's very stylish. I mean, have you seen it? It's the yeah. Guy Ritchie one with Robert Downey Jr.
I preferred the first one.
Yeah. The slow motion-y bits are great. And they then, I think, borrowed them for Sherlock the TV series. With his whole foom, yeah, the noises, looking at things.
The whole Sherlock thing has become too much like Doctor Who.
It's exactly like Doctor Who now. It's the same show, basically.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the way when all these weirdos, geeks everywhere. Hey, guess what? There's a letter and there's another letter.
I think you're sort of
I've become a monster.
You have become a bit of a monster, but that's all right. As long as you're aware of it, you can be a tragic monster. Alan Sharp, this is. Edinburgh or South London? I'll do South London. South London? South London? Oh, a sort of Victorian cockney.
Yeah, I do that.
Right. Hello, Merrick and David. Having listened to your latest podcast, it's just gone South African. Right? Tickety-boo. Having listened to your latest podcast discussing Vince Tex Dodge-Vaughan, I felt the need to point out, Corblimey, that his latest offering, Delivery Men, is in fact a Hollywood remake. The original, Starbuck, is a fringe Canadian film from as recently as 2011, as is actually very good, sir. I'm sure this will do little to dissuade Merrick from regarding Delivery Men as a means of swindling tax. In fact, Governor, you'll rightly think even less of the film, given they didn't even come up with the original idea in the first place. I only hope that any listeners about to go see Vince and unconvincingly trudge his way through a soulless remake instead, stay at home and watch Starbuck. It's on Netflix. All the best, Alan. God bless you, Governor.
Thanks, Alan. So watch Starbuck on Netflix.
Does that make you hate Delivery Man even more? That you know it's a remake of a film from 3 years ago?
Yeah, I do.
It was the same with Contraband, that Mark Wahlberg film, that was just a remake from a Scandinavian film, I think. And when I interviewed him about it, he was like, yeah, well, it's great because it's got a great story. It's all there for the taking and no one's bloody seen it.
Mm.
I was like, it's so good.
It's so sad.
Hmm.
Should we talk about the other film I went to go and see?
You went to go and see what other film?
I went to see. I need to put to go and see.
Went to go and see.
Sometime. It's terrible, isn't it? Everyone's saying like the whole time. Everyone's starting. We're talking about this before the show started. People who start sentences with so.
Yeah.
Stop. So. Everyone stop doing that.
Or end sentences with so.
So, I went to...
It ends them with so, so that they can be funny, like Ricky Gervais. So,
I've got to start liking things again. Well, I went to go and see the Coen Brothers' latest film,
Which is called
Inside Llewellyn Davis.
Does it start with an entry into a rectum, or
no? I mean, that would have been the perfect start for it. Shall I tell you what it's about?
Please.
It's about a week in the life of a folk singer, Llewellyn Davis. He was. It just sort of follows him around sort of New York as things just generally go wrong in his life. And he's in a folk, was in a folk partnership, but his partner committed suicide. And it's just about things gradually going wrong, him losing his neighbour's cat, and then it feels, yeah, it's just a bad week in someone's life.
Okay.
Right, set in 1961, around Greenwich Village, which is a place in New York.
A bit Simon and Garfunkel-y.
A little bit like that, yes. And the lead's played by Oscar...
Pistorius.
he's probably in prison by now. Oscar Isaac, who you might recognise as the guy in Drive, who is the Kerry Mulligan's husband.
Oh, yes.
In Drive.
Has a beard.
Yeah, and he looks quite a lot different in this. And Kerry Mulligan's in this as well as another folk singer, and so is Justin Timberlake makes a performance. I really like Justin Timberlake on screen.
Really? Yeah.
Well, he's really good.
He's grown up on screen, hasn't he?
I think he's very good in everything he does. I really like watching him perform. As usual, Coen Brothers film, it's beautiful. It just looks amazing. A Serious Man was one of my favourite films of last year that I saw, which I thought was spectacular. This is a bit, dare I say it, I found it boring.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if ever I misunderstood it, because it's almost about the singer of the folk band, and he's lost his partnership, and he's not a front man.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's a film, but they're trying to make the lead about someone who's not necessarily a lead.
I see.
Whether that's their story, and yeah. It's a guy who's not even, he's not really going anywhere.
Well, they played with the form previously on No Country for Old Men, I thought.
Yeah.
Where, irritatingly, for some people, it just abandons the lead character.
Yes,
towards
yeah.
the end.
Yeah.
And I read that, I might, may well be wrong, but I read that as an entirely intentional move because the, what's his name? Tommy Lee Jones's character has to let go of these stories because he's getting himself killed because he's no longer a young man.
Yeah.
He has to let go of these cases, rather. And so when he lets go of it, you no longer get to see what happens.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting use of the form, but is this...
Well, the protagonist isn't... He's not very likeable. And he's quite selfish. It really does show the folk world, a separate world, where they play whole folk songs. So it's just him singing a whole song at the start of it. And it's quite long and drawn out. There's good cameos by John Goodman.
He's Coen's go-to guy, isn't he? But he's brilliant. I saw Barton Fink for the first time recently, trying to catch up on old Coens I'd not seen. And he's amazing in that.
And Kerry Mulligan's in it. Just sort of being Kerry Mulligan, really.
Does she sing a whole song like she does in Shame?
She sings a bit of a song and she just looks into the... Does that Kerry Mulligan face that she does. I don't... I sort of think it's sort of everything's they intend everything in the film. They intend it to have a certain feel.
Yeah.
They're so all over it because they edit it and they shoot it. Yeah. They just do every single part of the process. They're total sort of auteurs, which is great. But I don't know whether it's just sort of trying to be anti-film in some way. I don't know.
Hmm.
I admit I don't understand it, and I would really appreciate any insights.
Have you ever not liked a Coen Brothers film before?
Yes, I think I've got mixed opinions on them. Some I love, some I...
There's only one I've not really liked.
Which one was that?
I've
only seen about half of Barton Fink and I got a bit annoyed by it.
Barton Fink they wrote in 2 weeks while they were having writer's block.
Okay.
And is a bit of a postmodern disappearing up their own rectum kind of thing in terms of it's about a writer's process and, you know, dreams and aspirations and all that. I think it is very good. The Man Who Wasn't There, I didn't like.
I've seen that quite... Is that
Billy Bob Thornton, Scarlett Johansson, black and white film.
I thought that was all right.
Okay.
Some I really love, like Fargo, obviously, is great. A Serious Man, I loved. And
Hudsucker Proxy, I think, is amazing.
Yes,
Brother We're Out, that was good. Hmm. Blood Simple's good.
I like the look of their films.
Big Lebowski, obviously.
I think it's great we've got these people making these odd films that in Hollywood, that different films.
Did you see Burn After Reading?
Yes, ages ago, I think. No, not ages ago. It sort of didn't work for me, Burn After Reading.
It didn't quite work for me either, but I did enjoy it.
I think they just go ahead and make it. And they go, here's an idea. I was reading an article about saying they always had a joke about this folk singer getting beaten up. They decided to go and make a film about it. I get the impression they don't really give a shit about anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than making the film that they want to make. And it's got a cyclical sort of style to it. I can't really say that. It needs to spoilers. So you don't know whether this film is... It feels almost like a hungover nightmare in a way, which is his life as essentially a hungover nightmare.
I like that idea.
I just didn't find him engaging enough, or the folk scene. Something I hate folk music, so that doesn't really help. It was interesting, but long, and I could see why it wasn't on the Oscars list, and not my favourite Coens. You never know what you're going to get, really.
No. No, but they are always interesting in some way.
Mm.
I mean, they're the kind of filmmakers who I will always eventually track down everything they've ever done, you know? I will slowly fill in that list until I've seen everything, because it's sort of worth it.
So that's it. That's my review of that film.
All right. How many Marics?
Five.
Five. Really? Five. Okay. Okay.
Just all right. Fairly boring. Looks beautiful. Quite quirky and odd. But not, didn't really...
What do you think of Carrie Mulligan?
Everyone's in love with her, aren't they? Some people just seem to be...
I'm not sure they are anymore. I think they were briefly. I don't know if they are. Do they have reason to be in this film?
She's got a look that she does, which she doesn't drive a lot, and various other films, which is quite engaging.
Yeah,
but she seems to do that look quite a lot.
I saw that film.
What's
with
it called? The Mulligan. That was the sort of
Mulliganing.
It's a sort of face staring to the distance and quite cutesy, but then also,
isn't it a sort of oh you sort of look? Is that right?
But no one else can do it. It's very specific to her. But she does it quite a lot.
I'm about to cry. Thank you for getting me there. Is that what it is? Is that what the Mulligan is?
That's a different version of it. She's got two or three different versions.
No,
she
hasn't.
But it is about to. It's easily about to cry thing.
Yeah, but she's not sad.
Yes. Maybe it's how she looks naturally.
Well, maybe she's just lucky. That's it. That's her look. I saw that one with her and Keira Knightley and Andrew Garfield. Where they're all clones.
Never Let Me Go, is it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I quite enjoyed it. Interesting.
Did you?
Not enjoy it. I don't enjoy anything anymore.
I thought, they were very passive. Maybe that was the point they'd been bred to be, but it was... I thought there was some mismatch of performance. I could not work out whether Carrie Mulligan was exceptional or not, because whatever she was doing... It was like she was in a different film to Andrew Garfield and Keira Knightley.
So are you trying to say that Carrie Mulligan is a clone and therefore cannot experience human emotions, so that when she's acting, we are attributing emotions to her facial features, which aren't necessary? She doesn't feel anything.
She's like a beautiful painting.
She's a lifeless robot, you're saying. Are you saying that?
I know, I'm saying she's a walking, talking Mona Lisa. We just look at it, and we just attribute things to her face.
I do think she's got the Mona Lisa look.
She's got the Mona Lisa.
The modern Mona Lisas, that look into the distance, the Mulligan.
The Mulligan.
The Mulligan Lisa. The
Mulligan Lisa.
Who knows?
Lovely soup. Yeah, well. All right. Inside Llewellyn Davis. Don't rush to go see it.
What we're trying to say is don't go to cinema anymore.
Yeah. No, we're not saying that. We're trying to say keep watching the films.
I keep watching those. If you want to write in, thank you very much for everyone who's written in lately.
Yeah, thank you. We'll get round to all of your emails eventually. If you'd like to contact us, then please do so. Email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. That's the best way to get a letter read out. Or if you just want to talk to other Film Fandango listeners, then you can go to Facebook/Film Fandango or talk to us on Twitter at Film Fandango. And we do all of this for free. So here's the begging bit, where we have costs to go and see films and all of that. So if you'd like to donate to our running costs so that we can keep Film Fandango being free, then you can do so by going to filmfandango.co.uk and following the link from there.
And last year, thanks to your donations, they paid exactly, almost breaking even point for us to put the
podcast together, yeah.
Yeah. But we still pay for all our cinema tickets.
That's right. We haven't got that far yet. But thank you for your generous donations.
We really appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Mr. David Reed or at Marek Larwood or at Film Fandango or something else.
Mr. David Reed. I think that's how we should pronounce it from now on.
From now on.
New on. Keep watching the films.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.